Today, I want to speak to you from Psalm 27. I'm going to take a little bit of a break from the series in Hebrews, but certainly what I want to talk today about requires endurance. And I think as I get into this message, you're going to see that. It requires endurance. And I want to read for you Psalm 27. You can follow along with me, and let's experience together the written Word of God as I read this aloud. The psalmist starts off with this beautiful verse many of us know. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, and my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful psalm that David has written for us so many years ago. And Lord, I thank you that we can say along with the psalmist that you are our light and our salvation, that you are the stronghold of our life. And Lord, as we have sung in these songs, there is none but you. And Lord, I know many of us have realized that in our lives today. There is none but you that we really need for our lives. And so, Lord, as we open up your truth today, I pray that you would guide us in your truth by your Holy Spirit, that he would work in our hearts, opening up our eyes, our ears to what you have to tell us today. And Lord, as we have mentioned earlier, we think of those that are serving or ready to go serve on the mission field. We think of Matt and Connie. We think of Marcel and Kelly. We think of Charlotte Rock Young. And Lord, we are so excited as a church family to see them willing to follow you and to obey your call. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen them, give them all that they need, and help us as a church family to continue to stand behind them and to support them. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you today. Lord, just guide our time here today. May your presence fill this room as we have worshiped you and as now we open up your word. So we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I look at this psalm, there's so many great truths about God in this psalm that David has laid out for us. And let me say this at the outset. The only way that David could pen so many great truths about God is because of all the peaks and valleys that God had taken him through in his life. You might remember that God chose him from all his brothers to be the king of Israel. He had numerous victories over his enemies. He was a great warrior of his nation. But you may recall as well that he had two of his children die on him. He had personal enemies that had tried or were trying to take his life when he wrote this psalm. He always had enemies from surrounding countries that wanted to attack him, and David seemed to always be at war with somebody. And so amidst all that was going on in David's life, he's able to reflect on God. He's able to contemplate on who God is, and he writes this beautiful psalm that we see. And I just love how he pens truths of who God is. And we read some of those, and I've talked a little bit about them, but as we scan over the psalm, we see that David saw God as his light and his salvation. David saw God as a stronghold in his life. He says, he will hide me in his shelter. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. These are strong truths that we can use in our life as building blocks that will take us through any and all challenges that we may face. But where I'd like us to go this morning, amidst all these wonderful truths, is this very last verse of this psalm. David writes, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." That is where I want our focus to be on today, and how we can learn to endure while waiting. I don't know about you, but I can get a little bothered at times when I have to wait, especially when I'm in a rush to get home from work and I have to come out of the church parking lot onto Beaverbrook, and there is a long line on Beaverbrook waiting to turn north, waiting to turn left on Wonderland. I remember the days, can't believe I had just said that, I remember the days when I didn't even have to look to my left going out of this church parking lot. There used to be a dirt road. There was no subdivisions back there, no Rona, no farm boy. There was no big apartment blocks, nothing back there. Just the groundhogs. The groundhogs had full control of that property back then. They ran the place. Now, there's just a lot of traffic. A lot of traffic comes through on Beaverbrook 7 days a week. And if we stop and think about our days and our weeks, we actually have a lot of moments of waiting. We all wait in traffic, sometimes for no apparent reason. When we're in a rush, it just seems that we have to wait longer and every light turns red. We wait at the dentist's office. We wait for the results from a doctor. We wait at an airport for our flight. We wait for our son or daughter to be born. And then before you know it, we wait for them to return from college or university. We wait for the last second to pay our taxes. We wait at a restaurant to get a table. How about for you kids? We wait for school to be out for the summer. You're going to be back pretty soon. Sorry to give you the bad news. As a believer in Christ, we anxiously await the return of the Lord, don't we? See, there's all kinds of situations and circumstances where we just have to wait. That is part of life, and I don't think any of us really like to wait. That is why we have microwaves and emails and cell phones and the internet and faster planes and trains, and we want things fast, and we want to get there fast. We want quick answers, and we want them now. For many Canadians, waiting is just a terrible nuisance in life. And now we are told in Scripture that we have to wait for the Lord. In fact, we're told that many times to wait. I want to read a few verses that speak about waiting for the Lord before we get into this passage this morning. And I want to do that so we can actually just deflate a little bit this morning. Just kind of bring the pressure down from the week. Let me read some of those verses from the Psalms particularly that get your thoughts focused onto this whole discipline of waiting on the Lord. Psalm 37, 7-9 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil schemes. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Psalm 52, 8 and 9 says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly." Psalm 62, 1 and 2. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." And then Psalm 130, 5 and 6. "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning." More than the watchman for the morning. You know, it's good for us to take a few moments and let our minds be filled with the Word of God. For some of you, it's been a really crazy busy week. You've had to rush around. You've been made to rush around. You've had demands put on you. You've had situations in your life where you've had to just go, go, go. And that is why I wanted to read those verses for you this morning. Because this morning, just deflate a little bit. Just bring it back to the Word of God and what He has to say. And let those words permeate your mind and your heart and help you to focus on His truth of waiting on Him. In the Old Testament, the word wait has a few different meanings when it refers to that of waiting on the Lord. In one instance, it can mean to bind together, the whole idea of twisting strands that are bound together to make a rope. So as we wait on God, maybe His light and His salvation, His rock, the one that we can stand on, the hope that we have begin to twist around us waiting on God. It can mean to look patiently. For instance, you might be looking patiently for the Lord to give you an answer. But in this psalm, the Hebrew word used refers to that of hope, of expectation, of looking eagerly, closely to looking patiently, but in this case, looking eagerly. So we wait hoping, looking eagerly for the Lord to answer. But perhaps you're asking the question of why do we need to wait for the Lord? How come we have to wait for God? Like, is He late for something? Is He caught up in other people's business and all their issues going on in life and I'm just queued in line and I just got to hang in there until He can come and deal with me? Does God not know what He's doing and He has to kind of figure things out before He gets back to me? Is that why I have to wait? Well, the answer is no, of course, to all those questions. But the bigger question remains, why then does the psalmist and other writers of the Bible remind us to wait for the Lord? Well, I want to walk through a few reasons this morning and hopefully unlock and remind ourselves of some truths that we can apply to our lives in this whole idea, this whole command of God to wait on Him. One of the first reasons that we wait is so that we can remind ourselves that we need to submit to God's perfect sovereign plan. We need to remember that God has it all figured out. I know that is not new to many of you this morning. You know that truth. But so many times we need to be reminded of that. And how many of us actually live and think that way when we have to wait? Probably not many of us. By waiting, it makes us submit to His timing and His plan. So many times we want to have control of the timing, of the events, of the circumstances in our lives so that they can work out just the way we want them to. So what do? We rush to find the quickest, easiest solution. When we do that, we don't bring God into the picture. In fact, He is probably the very last solution, the last resort that we go to. But by waiting on the Lord, it makes us put away our selfish desires and our wants and actually submit to God's plan. Waiting for the Lord includes keeping His way of doing what is right. It means that we are trusting in God's goodness and provision according to His promises and His timing. Again, this stands in contrast to turning to man's way to our solutions which always leads us down some very unstable paths. James 4, 13 to 15 reminds us of that. Here James writes and he says, "Come now, you who say today we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are but a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." See, the first part of this verse is where many of us are at. We have our plans. We want to do what we want to do. God is not really in the picture. But God's word has a way of bringing our lives and our focus into perspective. We see that in verse 14 when he asks the question, "What is your life?" And then he quickly gives us a perspective. You're a mist, you're a vapor. You're just here for a little while. And then you vanish. Now, thankfully, God's word in James doesn't leave us there, because that's kind of depressing to actually think about. But he goes on and he shows us what we ought to be thinking and saying. Look at verse 15. "Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." When we are able to say those words, then we're submitting to God's perfect plan. Then we are waiting on the Lord. When that happens, waiting doesn't seem so painful and long, because we know that God has the perfect timing in place for all things to fall into place. So when we wait on the Lord, we actually submit to His perfect plan for our lives. Another truth we can unlock through waiting is that by waiting, new things are revealed to us. Although waiting is painful, we can, during those times, have new things revealed to us. And in my experience, when I've had to wait, there are two areas that come to the forefront for me that are revealed to me. And one of the areas revolves actually around me, and is probably the same for you. And the things that are revealed to you and me are the things that God wants us to change in us. That's the first thing. New things are revealed to us because God wants to change something in us. Paul writes in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." It is God working in you to reveal new things that you need to change in yourself. When we have placed our faith and our trust in Christ, it means that He is always working in us. He is showing us things that we need to change. Maybe we need to be more disciplined in a certain area of our life. Maybe we need to work on anger issues we have in our life. Maybe we need to show more love to those around us. Maybe we need to be less self-focused and more God-focused. There's a whole bunch of things that God can reveal to us that we need to change. And this can be one of the hardest realities that we need to face. God is saying to us, "I want you to wait on this issue that is going on in your life. I'm not going to give you an answer right now, because I want you to change so that you can reflect more of me to those around you." And when God puts us through that, He will pinpoint exactly what He wants us to change. We won't have to guess. He will reveal that to us. He will show us, either by His word, through somebody else speaking into our lives, through something that He has impressed upon our hearts. He will reveal that to us. You know, and many times when He does that, it can get a little painful. It can bring tears to the eyes. It can hurt. Many of you here today know exactly what I'm talking about, because God has had you wait for something because He wanted to change something in you during that waiting time. And God wanted to reveal that to you. The second area that comes to the forefront is that God wants to show us new truths about Himself. So things that God wants to change in us, and secondly, new truths that God wants to show in us. You know, I can pretty much guarantee that during these times of waiting, we learn some new things about God. God is always showing us more and more of Himself. But it seems when we are waiting on God, that is when He reveals even more of Himself to us. You come back to this psalm and you reflect on all that David had to endure and the times that he waited on the Lord, and then you're able to understand why David was able to write these truths about God. Let's look at them one more time. God revealed to David that he was his light and his salvation. God revealed to David that the Lord is the stronghold of his life. And then he says in verse 5, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." You know, we know the stories of David, how God helped him conquer his enemies. Goliath, for instance, was one of those. We all know that story. We know how God was with him when Saul was pursuing him and David had to hide in caves and other places fearing for his life. We remember the issues that he had with his son Absalom. We can read how countries around Israel would often attack and David would once again be at war. David experienced God as his light in those dark places. David experienced God as his salvation from Goliath and Saul and others. David experienced God as his stronghold, as the surrounding countries mounted armies and wanted to attack Israel. Would David have liked a quick, easy solution to all of those problems that he had? Of course. I think he probably would have. And God could have done that if he wanted to, but he wanted to show David new truths about himself. And so God made him wait. That's why David writes, "Wait for the Lord." That's why God had him wait. And at times endure some very tough circumstances. For you and me today, let us not grow impatient when God doesn't answer us right away. There will be things that He wants to change in us. And there will be things that, most importantly, we need to learn about Him as we grow to be like Him and grow in the grace and knowledge of who He is. Another reason we should take these words of the psalmist seriously is because by waiting, we obey God. David is telling us to wait. These are God's words spoken through this king, telling us to wait on him. Again, the Bible doesn't say after you have exhausted every means possible, then wait on the Lord. It doesn't say if you feel like it, then wait on God. It says to wait. That should be the first thing we do, because by doing that, we obey God by obeying His word. In Scripture, we see a prime example of someone who did not obey God when he was told to wait. And I want us to go to that and just remind you of this person. This person is King Saul. The account of his disobedience and not waiting is found in 1 Samuel. I'm not going to read all the chapters and verses in this story for you this morning, but let me give you a quick synopsis of what happened. It starts in chapter 10, where Samuel the prophet anoints Saul as the first king of Israel. And one of the first things he tells Saul to do is to go to a place called Gilgal and wait for Samuel to come and offer sacrifices to the Lord. So he tells Saul, go off to that city over there, and I want you to wait until I come, and then I'm going to offer the sacrifices. But you got to wait till I come. And in fact, Samuel told Saul exactly how many days to wait. In verse 8 of that chapter, Samuel says to Saul, 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. So now if you flip over a few chapters to chapter 13, we now find Saul at Gilgal. And a large army of the Philistines have gathered to fight the Israelites. And we find that the people were scared. And Saul was probably, I'm guessing, a little bit nervous about all that's going on. Here's this huge army of the Philistines encamped around the Israelites. And I don't know what it was like back then, but maybe they were beating on drums and they were getting ready to fight. And they were doing shouts and scaring the Israelite people, and some of them got scared and started running away, and Saul was probably pretty nervous at this point. But it's interesting that he did wait the 7 days. However, as you read through the rest of this chapter, and you can do that this afternoon, as you read through the rest of this chapter, Saul didn't wait until Samuel arrived. Samuel told him specifically what to do, and Saul didn't wait. As the invading army began to mount up and people got more scared, Saul decided that he would take matters into his own hands, and he's the one who offered the sacrifices. Well, as soon as he had finished, Samuel shows up and he sees what Saul has done. And he says this to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you, for then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Some pretty strong words from the prophet Samuel to Saul. Saul could not wait. He could not obey the command of the Lord through the prophet Samuel. And so because of that, the Lord took his kingship. Eventually, he took his kingship away. What do we learn from that? We need to learn that we need to be careful to wait. We need to obey what God's word is saying. The human tendency, what we like to do is we like to take matters into our own hands when we don't get a quick answer. And then we are just like Saul. We begin to make plans. We begin to push the envelope. And we might think, well, if I just do a little bit of this and that, if I can just change things a little bit, maybe God will speed up his plan a little bit. God's word to us this morning is telling us to wait. I don't know how many days or weeks or even years that might be for some of you on issues, things you have going on in your life. You don't know that either. See, Saul had an advantage over us in that regard. Saul knew exactly how many days he was supposed to wait. More than likely, we won't have that advantage. But this is what we are to know and to bring into our lives from God's word, is we are to wait for the Lord. Finally, I want to unlock one more truth about waiting on the Lord. And that truth is, by waiting, God meets our needs. See, David knew that. Take a look again to verses 2 and 3. "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, when adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." See, David knew he was going to have trouble. David knew there would be people out to get him, and he experienced that, and he just knew that he was going to have issues all his life. It's the same for us. We are going to have troubles. We are going to have those moments in our life when we feel we're being attacked. But it is then we need to take the attitude of David. When he knew that he was being attacked, when he was being pursued by those who wanted to kill him, he just needed to wait on the Lord. He had learned from past experience that God would meet his need. So that is why he writes, the Lord will make them stumble and fall. My heart shall not fear, I will be confident. David wasn't confident in himself. He wasn't fearful because he was such a great warrior or because he had such a great army around him. That didn't make him afraid. He was confident and unafraid because he knew of this fact that God would meet his need as he waited for him. That is the kind of God we have. He is there to help us. He is there to see us through it. He is there to meet our needs. This again is emphasized in another passage of Scripture in Isaiah. And I want to bring this to you this morning. A very familiar verse to many of us here today, Isaiah 40:31. And it says this, these beautiful words, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's easy to see in this verse how God meets our needs when we wait on him. Isaiah reminds us that God renews our strength to fight through whatever we have going on. Whether we need that emotional, mental, or physical strength, He is there to give us, to give it to us. Isaiah reminds us that God is able to give us what we need to rise above the issues and situations in our life. And to me, that's the idea of mounting up with wings as eagles. We're able to rise above because God meets our needs. We're able to rise above those issues that we have going on in our life. Isaiah again reminds us that God provides for us the ability to run and run and run and run and never grow weary. Many of us have been around the block a few times, and we know life just doesn't have one problem. There are many problems. And sometimes they just come one after another, after another, after another. But here this verse points us to the help we receive from God in facing all these problems and issues and never losing steam. Never losing steam. We run and we don't grow weary. I watched some of the recent Pan Am Games in Toronto and how some of the runners collapsed after they crossed the finish line in their respective events. They were exhausted. They had given all they had to their race. You could see the stress on their face and how they were straining to cross the finish line, and then they cross it and they fall on the ground because they're so exhausted. And here in this verse, Isaiah says, through the analogy of running, he says that when we wait on the Lord, God gives us the strength we need to handle particularly stressful situations that come up in life and then keep coming up. And they keep coming up. And the tougher the situation, the more we need to draw on the Lord and literally cling to Him. And so we can run. We can run through this life and not grow weary as we wait on God because He supplies our need. He gives us the strength to carry on. Finally, He says, you will walk and not faint. Maybe after we've been through a particularly tough situation, life is maybe now a little easier, more like a walk. But we still need to rely on God, that we don't fade away, and that even in those good times, God is still there meeting our needs, that we don't forget about Him, and we know that He does not forget about us. When I read that verse and I was thinking through all that it means, the question that came to my mind is, why don't I wait on the Lord? Why don't I wait on Him? If He's going to meet all my needs like this, why would I not wait on God? And maybe you're asking yourself that same question. And then I had to look at my answer for that. And I thought, well, one of the main reasons that I don't wait on God is because I sometimes don't see God as all sufficient. Sometimes I want to take matters into my own hands because I think He's not big enough to meet my needs, or I'm not important enough for Him to meet my needs. But He is. And sometimes we fall into that trap of thinking that way, that God is not all sufficient to meet our needs. But He is. He is there to get us through and really meet our needs. Not the way we think they should be met, but in His way and in His timing. You see, we want to renew and gain new strength. We want to mount up with wings like eagles. We want to run through this life and not get weary. We want to walk through our problems and not become faint. But in reality, we often do the opposite of what this verse says. So we do not wait for the Lord. And we deplete our strength because we're trying to fight it ourselves. We're trying to fight and fight and fight through these problems ourselves. We don't wait on the Lord. We deplete our strength. And because of that, we fail to rise above the problems and actually let the problems consume us. And we run and we run and we run and we run and we're exhausted and we get weary and we walk and we faint. So we need to continue to learn and remind ourselves day in and day out that we need to wait on God. This morning, some of you are here today and you're waiting. Maybe you're in a job situation that's really tough to endure. And you are waiting, and you're hoping that conditions will change for the better. Maybe you're without a job, and you're waiting for that news from an application, a resume that you just put in hoping that you will get that job. Maybe you're in the midst of a health issue, you have a loved one who is, and you're waiting for God just to provide some relief. Maybe you're a single person here today. You've been waiting and waiting for just the right person to come along. Maybe you're in a tough marriage, and you are waiting for God to change things. Or maybe you're waiting for your child to come home or become interested in spiritual things, and you're waiting on God. You're waiting on God for an answer. You're waiting to hear from the Lord. You need to hear from Him. I wish I could give you a piece of Scripture that told you how long you need to wait or when your answer will come, but I can't. I can only encourage you to stay strong in the Lord and wait patiently for Him to take courage and wait for the Lord. I want to leave you with some questions to write on the back of your sermon insert. You can turn it over. Just four questions that I have for you as you think about this and perhaps as you're going through a waiting time right now. There's some verses on the top of there that I read earlier, just verses regarding waiting. Perhaps that's what you need this morning, just to let your mind be filled with God's Word and to meditate on that today or in these next few weeks, and you can read some of those verses. There's other ones in Scripture, but those are just a few for you from the Psalms. But here's four questions for you to think about in this whole process of waiting on the Lord. What is happening in your life right now in which you are waiting on the Lord? That's the first. What is happening? What's going on in your life right now in which you're waiting on the Lord? If you don't have anything going on, that's okay, but use these questions maybe down the road to say, what's going on, Lord, in my life that I am waiting on you for an answer? What is happening in your life that you are looking to God for an answer, that you are waiting on the Lord for? Number two, are you letting God have control of the situation, or are you trying to take control of it? Question number two, are you letting God have control of the situation, or are you trying to take control of it? And that is so important for us to ask that question and to do a little internal audit of our hearts when we are waiting. God, am I trying to make things work? Am I trying to push the envelope here and take control of this because it doesn't seem like you're really dealing with it? Or am I just letting you take control and I'm just going to wait for you? Question number three, what needs to change in your life so that you become more sufficient on God? You know, as I said, so many times we want to be self-sufficient and we want to do it all ourselves. But maybe today you need to ask yourself that question, what needs to change in your life so that you become more sufficient on God? And maybe that is as simple as just reading this psalm again and reminding yourself that God is your light and your salvation, that He is the stronghold of your life. What needs to change in your life so that you become more sufficient on God? Finally, what is God teaching you by waiting on Him? What things is He revealing about Himself? What things is He talking to you about that He wants you to change in your life? What are those things? What is God teaching you by waiting on Him? You know, whether you're going through a particularly tough time, or perhaps as we all know, tough times will come upon us, we need to be encouraged to wait on God, to wait on Him. And these four questions will hopefully help you as you begin to process all of this, as you experience tough times and waiting on the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the ways in which You guide and direct our hearts. And Lord, I thank You for these words in Scripture and this encouragement, this command to wait for You. Lord, we know that in You we have everything, everything that we could possibly need. And so, Lord, I pray for those here today that maybe are going through a particularly tough season in life, that, Lord, You would help them to be steadfast in you, that you would help them to wait on you, the God who we find the strength, the encouragement, and all the hope that we need to carry on. And so, Lord, I pray that these words, this psalm, would sink deep into our hearts, into our minds. Let your truth guide us today. And we thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.